Chairman and friends. As you've just heard, this is the penultimate talk in a series, the second of the two series which we have had this year. And in the course of this series, we have dealt with quite a wide variety of topics, and especially with Buddhism in relation to these topics. Now this evening, we come to what some of you might consider a rather strange topic. That is, as Mr. Walsh has already told you, the topic of Buddhism and the Bishop of Woolwich. Now some of you may be wondering, what could there possibly be in common between an Eastern religion like Buddhism and an Anglican bishop like the Bishop of Woolwich? And you might therefore be wondering why this particular subject has been included in this particular series. Now, I'm afraid I must accept the responsibility for the inclusion of this topic in our series personally. And in order to make clear why I included this particular topic, Buddhism and the Bishop of Woolwich, I must take you, as it were, back with me to Kalimpong. As Mr. Walsh has told you, I have spent in India upwards of 20 years. And in India, my headquarters is situated at a place called Kalimpong, up in the Himalayan foothills, not very far from the more famous township of Darjeeling. Now, as you can imagine, that little place of about 15,000 inhabitants, situated within sight of Tibet, situated within sight of the magnificent snow ranges which interpose between India and Tibet, is rather cut off from the outside world. It's a rather quiet little place, or at least it was until quite recently, and not very many sounds from the outside world do penetrate there. But about 3 years ago, even in that far away place, even in this remote little township of Kalimpong, nestling among the hills at the foot of the mighty Himalayas, we heard echoes of a little debate, one might even say controversy, which was going on here in this country. In Kalimpong, at our monastery, I receive from time to time different magazines and journals from this country, mainly of a religious nature. And I couldn't help noticing that in so many of them, about 3 years ago, there appeared references to a book which had then recently been published called Honest to God. I remember that one of the journals I was receiving regularly, it was in fact a weekly paper, was the Inquirer, which is one of the organs of the Unitarians. And they featured for many, many months, as far as I remember, weekly articles and letters and discussions on this particular book. And other journals, other magazines, even the Daily Press apparently, gave quite a lot of coverage to this particular book and its ideas and the debate and the discussion which arose out of its publication. So, coming to know in this way that this book had created quite a stir in England, and knowing also by that time that I would in all likelihood find myself back in England before very long, I made, as it were, a sort of mental note that one of the things that I'm going to do when I get settled down a little in England is to read this particular book. So not very long after my arrival at the Hampstead Vihara, I happened to be browsing through our library, and I found a rather battered, rather dog-eared copy of this particular book, which has obviously been read by quite a large number of people frequenting our vihara or monastery. So, being, as I may say, something of a bookworm, I know that for me to see a book in which I'm interested, well, is to read it. There's no question of any delay. So that night itself, I sat up quite late, and I finished it at one sitting. And I must say that I found this book, this little book by the Bishop of Woolwich, Honest to God, of very great interest indeed. And when I say that I found it of interest, I don't mean that I found it merely of academic, of theoretical, or intellectual interest, but something much more than that.